The signpost was silhouetted against the afternoon sun, and Matthew shielded his eyes against the glare. His father slowed the battered old Daimler and peered through the windscreen. "Can't see a thing."
"Just have to trust the navigator then, won't you?"
Adams spun the wheel and turned the car off the main road. Matthew just had time to make out the lettering on the sign. It said, "Milbury 2. His father glanced at him.
"Sure we're on course?"
"Aye, aye, skipper."
"If we waste any petrol, I'll make you pay for it out of your pocket money."
Matthew grinned.
He and his father had always been mates, but the bond between them had grown stronger since his mother died. And recently he'd made an interesting discovery, that as the son of Professor Adam Brake, he was someone rather special. Mr. Caulfield, the science master at his old school, was continually using him as a spur to the other boys. "Come along," he would say to some unfortunate classmate. "You don't want Matthew to tell his father you can't solve a simple problem like this, do you?" Such remarks didn't make life easy. Sometimes a classmate would be waiting in the playground when he came out, and Matthew would have to demonstrate that he could use his fists as well as his slide rule. Nevertheless, he enjoyed the awe and respect which his father's name inspired. And when the headmaster showed him an article in the local paper about the work of Professor Brake, Britain's leading astrophysicist, he felt as if he'd scored the winning goal in the cup final. Now he was going to a new school, only for a term. But a term can seem like an eternity. Would they know who his father was? Would the teacher be as tactless as Mr. Caulfield? Would there be more fights in the playground? There were so many unanswered questions, so many unknown quantities. 2 miles from their destination, he began to feel nervous. "Dad?"
Adam was intent on the twisting road ahead.
"Hmm? Suppose I don't like this school."
"Why shouldn't you like it?"
"I won't know anyone."
"You'll soon make new friends."
Matthew frowned, disturbed by the prospect of being a new boy again. "But suppose I don't," he said. "Suppose I hate them all. Do we still have to stay for 3 months?
Adam glanced at him.
"Yes," he said firmly. "If I don't complete my research, the university people are going to want their grant back. And as I've already spent half of it, it might be a bit awkward."
Matthew nodded gloomily. The fact that his father was brilliant didn't seem to make him rich. He had to supplement his lecturer's salary by writing articles for various scientific magazines. And even then they always seemed to be short of money. If only he'd been an inventor. If he'd stumbled on a brand new formula for rocket propulsion or something, then they'd probably be travelling to Milbury in a chauffeur-driven Rolls-Royce. But astrophysics, no matter how clever they were, didn't seem to be worth much in hard cash. Matthew leaned forward, took the guidebook out of the glove compartment, and leafed through it till he came to Milbury. There were the two pictures that had so intrigued him when he first started to read about the village. One, a photograph of the stone circle as it was today, and the other, an artist's impression of how it must have looked in 3000 BC. There were 100 stones originally, huge black sentinels that surrounded the village in a giant ring, of which 53 now remained. 3000 BC, he said softly, staring down at the guidebook. Were the stones really standing then?
Some of them. The circle was certainly under construction.
So it's older than Stonehenge?
Adam smiled.
Considerably older.
By the time Stonehenge was completed, the Milbury stones would have been standing for at least 1,000 years.
Wow! That's pretty phantasmagorical.
Pretty what?
Phantasmagorical. It means more fantastic than fantastic.
It doesn't. It's spelt with a PH, and it comes from phantasmagoria, meaning a series of illusions or phantoms.
Matthew grinned. Yes, Professor. He used his father's title whenever he began to sound like a lecturer. Sometimes he forgot that he wasn't talking to one of his students, and Matthew resented it. He was eager to learn from such a great man, but as his son, not just another pupil, teachers were 2 a penny, but fathers were hard to replace. Adam frowned at him in mock disapproval.
Cheeky?
but Matthew knew that the message was received and understood. Satisfied that they had re-established their special relationship, he turned to stare out of the window at the rolling countryside. The sun was now hidden by clouds, and the dark fields looked suddenly cold and uninviting. It felt more like winter than early summer.